All right. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 in verse 35. We'll begin reading there. Luke 12, 35. And let's begin there. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Oh, man. Forgive me if I'm a little slow tonight. All right, Luke 12, 35. It says, the Bible says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question here. We'll pray and we'll get started. But the question is this. Let's say you knew that your house was going to be broken in, or somebody was going to come to try to break in your house at 3 a.m. to tomorrow morning or tonight. By the time you go to sleep, at 3 a.m. somebody's going to come break in your house. What would you do? Okay, let's pray, and I'm going to ask if you raise your hand and we'll get you the microphone, and I want to hear some of your answers. So, your house, somebody's coming to break in at 3 a.m. What are you going to do? All right, Lord, I come before you tonight, and I want to thank you so much for this passage of Scripture that teaches us about being ready in your second coming, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight and help us to learn from this passage and be able to apply it to our lives and leave here differently and change because we've spent time with each other and spent time with you and spent time in your word, Father. Please bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody, raise your hand. 3 a.m., he's coming. All right. Here we go. Where's my pen?
So I would probably make sure that my family is gone. My wife and daughter, I'd probably be gone too. I'd call the cops, give them a heads up. Hey, I know somebody's coming to the house at 3 o'clock. And I'd also make sure that the cameras are on.
Okay, so we have preparation. We have readiness. We have getting other people involved. Okay.
I'll make sure that I have motion sensing lights around the house. I'll make sure that I have booby traps that will make noise. I'll have my wife go somewhere else, sit in the house with the shotgun, and call the police to let them know that this is happening at 3 in the morning.
Okay, we add to that we have a willingness to do extreme things. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Ms. Myra?
I live in a fortress, so the house is always ready, regardless of the situation.
There you go. There you go. Always prepared. Right. All right. So, now look down at this verse. Those are all good answers, exactly what I was looking for and expected. Verse 40. Okay? Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. So here's what Jesus said. Would be prepared for that thief to come. If you knew when he was coming, you should be ready in the same way for when I come. Okay? And we had people that said, we're going to make preparation. We're going to be ready. We're going to... things. Right? Now, with all those things, you know what the Lord wants us to do? He said if the thief was coming, if he was going to come and he was going to break in, you would make sure that he wouldn't break in. He said, I'm coming like a thief, and I want you to be ready in the same way. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you have other people involved? Is your family ready? Are you willing to do extreme things to be prepared for the Lord coming? Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Ms. Myra said she's ready all the time. Okay? So we should be ready for the Lord to come back at any time. You know, 2 weeks ago and last week and the week before, we preached about setting your affections on things above. And one way to set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth is to have a constant in your mind that Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You better be ready. From the time that I was a young man, the thought of Jesus Christ coming back has been a big thing on my mind. A lot of preaching that I've heard about it, and it's helped me to live my life in light of the judgment. Live my life in light of the Lord coming back. One of the reasons I have a thing that I teach sometimes, it's called the laws of liberty, right? And how you judge whether something is right or wrong. And one thing I use to judge whether something's right or wrong is the law of embarrassment. If Jesus Christ was coming back right now, would you be embarrassed to be caught doing what you're doing? You know? And you think about that. You know, you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and this was your last act. Would you be ready? And so we should always keep that. Why was his motivation protecting his family, preventing a break-in? The certainty of his coming, that of a thief, their coming, the suddenness. We all know what the embarrassment of being called on when you're unprepared, right? When I went to Bible school, the preacher told us, he said, all right, I want you to get your lessons ready and be ready to go next week. I don't know who I'm going to call, but you be ready, right? And so we had to get ready. We didn't know who was going to. And every year there was somebody that said, yeah, I'm not ready. So well, you got to do it anyway, you know, and then fail, right? But we know what that embarrassment is, and we don't want to have that happen when Jesus Christ comes for us. A thief never announces his coming. He comes at a time when you wouldn't expect. And the only way is to be constantly ready for Jesus' return. All right? Why would that person protect his house? He would protect it because he didn't want to lose all the things that he worked hard for, right? Okay? The Bible says this in 2 John 1:8. It says, look to yourself, that we lose not the things that we have wrought, but we may receive a full reward. And if you don't keep in mind that the Lord's coming, you know, I see so many people and they live for the Lord for a period of time, right? Then they stop living for the Lord. And then all that they worked for, they allow the thief to come and take it away. And they lose the things that they've wrought. It doesn't matter how you start. We want you to finish well. That's where we're looking for. Okay? So how do we prepare for the Lord's return? And we're not going to be very long tonight. I say that, hopefully not. But look at chapter 12 and verse 35. Here's how we're prepared. Okay? Girded loins. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights be burning. And be ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will come, return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet, and will come forth and serve them. If he shall come in the second watch or in the third and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now let's do a little explaining here of what's going on. There's a certain Jewish gentleman in this passage, or the Lord, that's gone to a wedding. And the festivities connected with those Jewish weddings could last for days, weeks, or even months. They could last for a very long time. So this person goes and he has to make an appearance to his family member's wedding. There were people, all the family had to show up to the wedding, but only a select few had to remain to the end. And they didn't know if he was the one that had to remain to the end or not. The rest might come or go at any day or hour that suited their convenience. So he's at his friend's wedding. His servants didn't know when he was coming back. They didn't know he was going to come back at the second watch or the third watch or midnight. They did not know what day he was coming back. So they were of the mindset that we have to always be ready when night fail. Instead of barring up the house and going to rest, they gird up their loins, their long robes, that they can be ready to run at any instant and meet his needs. They kindled their lamps so they could run safely and swiftly on his errands. And they even prepared a table for him. Even though he was coming from a feast, maybe he's hungry. Maybe he wants some bread or some juice or something that's acceptable for him. And this is the way they waited on him. And he said, let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. Now, what does that signal? That signals preparedness, okay? Now, what does it mean to gird up your loins? I don't know if you can see this illustration, but we'll have a video for you in a second. But the men in the Middle East back then, like if you see up here in this illustration on the screen, they wore a tunic. And it wouldn't allow you to do heavy lifting and labor. So they would do these things and gird up their loins so they could be ready to go. Now watch this video and it'll show you what it means to gird up your loins. And it's only a minute and 56 seconds.
In ancient times in the Middle East, men traditionally wore a robe as part of their everyday attire. The robe is not to be confused with a dress or muumuu. It was a practical adaptation from a desire to appear modest and to keep cool in a warm climate. This everyday attire, however, did present some practical challenges. For example, if he had to lift something heavy, requiring him to squat or to bend his legs, providing a strong lifting base, the robe would prove to be a limitation. Or, if he wanted to play a game involving running or kicking a ball, the robe would limit his range of motion. Or, if he were attacked by a wild animal. When he wanted to accomplish something difficult, these limitations led to the phrase, gird up your loins, or gird up your loincloth. First, a man would reach between his legs and grab the backside of his robe and pull it upward toward his waist. Next, the robe would be tucked into the man's belt, securing it. After a man would gird up his loins, he would have better mobility, like squatting to lift, running in place, kicking a ball, and standing in a wide stance, defensive posture. Seeing a man who has girded up his loins was a common sight in the ancient world. Although able to move about with greater freedom, he looked ridiculous, as if he were wearing a diaper. This gave way to what we refer to as pants.
All right, so there you go. Go back one slide or two slides. I don't know what's going on with that.
Out with greater freedom, he looked ridiculous.
Go back two slides.
Although able to move about with greater freedom, he looked.
One more. Good job, guys.
All and standing in a wide stance.
Here, there. We'll just leave it on that one. Okay. So, you see what it means to gird up your loins. It means to be ready for anything. Now, in the video, he didn't hike it up high enough. It should be above your knees. And they tuck it in their belt, and they would tighten their belt so they could be ready. So, for whatever the Lord wanted them to do, to be ready. So, it shows a readiness to do whatever needs to be done. The robber is coming, right? Brother Santiago said he was going to be sitting up all night with his coffee and his shotgun, right? So he's going to be ready for whatever needs to be done. And these people are waiting for their Lord, and they're waiting to do his bidding. Let me ask you this. Are you ready to do anything the Lord may appoint you to do? He's coming back, and he has a task for you. And it shows that you're ready to put all your energy and effort into the task at hand. You're alert and ready for service. You're buckled up and you're ready to do your master's bidding. Our Lord loins are girded to do whatever the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. You know why else he girds it up? So it won't get caught on something or snagged or tear or something like that. So look what Luke chapter 12 and verse 33 says. Right before he says to be ready for the Lord to come back, he says this, Luke 12:33, sell that you have and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about. Okay? So he said this, that he doesn't want you to be overly involved and invested on what's going on down here. He wants you to be ready for his coming. You know, these servants, their Lord's coming back, and they're waiting for him. And they could have been doing anything. He was gone. But blessed are those servants, when he comes, the Lord will find them so doing. So they're ready. And think about how ridiculous that would seem. He's gone, you don't know when he's coming back, and you have your loins girded up. You're ready to do something, and you have no idea when he's coming back. You have the light on, you're watching, you're waiting, you have a table spread for the Lord to come back so you can do his bidding. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to gather our things together and be ready so they don't get caught on anything of the world. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you have to gird up your loins, and you have to detach your heart from this world and to be watching and waiting with the Lord's interest in what he wants you to do. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, there's three different people in the scripture that are told to gird up their loins. One is a soldier, right? And aren't we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? We're ready to go and fight in the battle for the Lord. Another person that is told to gird up his loins, not only the Christian soldier, but the traveler. Before he starts on the long road and walks down the road, he girds himself together and gathers his robes around him so he can run with perseverance. And the Bible says for us that we're supposed to run the race that's set before us. Okay, so we are like that. We're like an athlete. We're a runner. And it's also the servant that's commanded to gird up his loins. He took a towel and took on him the form of the servant. And the Bible says about Jesus Christ, he took a towel and girded himself, and he served his disciples. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve one another. A girded loin is a hand that's ready to carry on the work. It's a foot that's ready to go at every instant. Next, there has to be burning lamps, okay? If a robber was to come, you would have the light, right? We talked about motion sensors, and you would have your light ready. Why would you have a light? Because you want him to, you know, in this passage it said, if you knew what hour the thief would come, you would not have suffered your house to be broken in. You wouldn't have allowed that to happen. In other words, he didn't have to come in and break in if you were prepared and you were ready. And so why would you have lights? Because you want him to know somebody's at home. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody is ready for whatever happens and comes. So what does it mean to have our lights burning for the return of Christ. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5 and verse 13. The Bible says here, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does it mean when Jesus says, I want your light to be shining? Right? Well, you know what that is? That's your Christian character. That's who you are. If you knew a thief was coming and he was going to break into your house, you would do everything within your power as the protector of the home to guard the home and make sure that he didn't get in there, right? And as Christians, you know what we are? We're the light of the world. And we're supposed to let everybody know that there's a light on here, somebody's home. And that does two things. That keeps the bad people away, and it gives comfort and joy to those that are in the house. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go hunting all the time. And I would go way out behind the house, and darkness would fall. And I was only 9, 10 years old, sitting out a tree in the middle of the woods by myself. And I'd skinny down the tree and turn on my little flashlight, and I'd come trudging through the woods, and I'd hear owls and, you know, and I'd hear coyotes barking or something going on, and I didn't know what it was. But I remember just running through the woods. And you know how when you run in the dark, you run in the hallway, the faster you run, the you really think there's someone behind you when there's nothing behind you? And I would run, and I could just, man, in my child's mind, I could imagine the coyotes and the everything coming up against me, the bobcats or whatever was going on. And I remember when I got back to the house and I saw the light, it just gave me so much comfort and so much peace. My dad was not a person that likes dark houses. You know, you walk into someone's house and their lights are all off and they're dark. I'm like, man, what is... He had like fluorescent, it was like a tanning bed in our house, right? And so we walk into the house and the stove was on and it was so warm and welcoming. And I just wanted to be where the light was, right? And you know what the Lord wants us to do? This world is a dark, it's a dreary, it's a terrible place, right? And there's bad things going on everywhere. And God wants you, as the Lord returns, thinking about Him coming, let your light shine. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find Him. I'm going to do my part as a Christian. I'm going to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do right. And I'm going to let a sign on that knows that this house is protected by ADT. The lamp, it's your character that's illuminated from above. And it gives other people hope. That commercial, I always like them. I think they're entertaining. Tom Bodat, we'll leave the light on for you. I love that. And so that's what the Lord wants you to do, waiting for the Lord to come back. Without concentrated effort, and coming to the Lord daily with your loins girt and say, Lord, give me oil for my lamp, and working on your Christian character. If you don't do that often, if you don't do that daily, your lamp is not going to be shining. You know, there's often, you can look at night and look at the stars, and sometimes you look at the stars and all of a sudden they go away from view. And if it's really dark, you don't even know why they went away from view, but there's a cloud that came in between you and the star, right? And you know why Christians, their lights don't shine anymore when the Lord's coming back? They've allowed the cares of this world and different things to come, and it puts a bushel over their light, and it's a cloud that comes between them, and the light's not shining anymore, so the robber comes and gets in and steals all your blessings and everything. So, you know what you need to do? You need to have your light trimmed and burning bright. And then the third and the last thing we'll look at is you need to have a waiting heart. You need to have your loins girt. You need to have your lamp burning. And you need to have a waiting heart. Wait with your heart. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. He said this, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." If you knew the robber was coming, like you heard, you would be sitting up, right? You would be waiting. And when he got there, you'd say, "I've been expecting you." And you're not going to do. "We're ready. I knew it." Right? And when the Lord shows up, I hope you're expecting him. I hope you're looking for him. I hope you're waiting for him. Blessed are those servants when the Lord comes, he'll find them waiting. And you think about that. He's gone in a wedding, and he might have been weeks, been a long time, and he comes home and his servants are excited to see him. And they have the table prepared. They have food on the table. They have the lamps burning. And he didn't command. They could have been doing whatever they wanted. And they were ready and they were waiting to do his bidding. What a blessing that is. Spurgeon had a friend named James White. He was a preacher. And he went and saw him right before he died and passed away. And he said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Have you seen a passenger that's gone to the station and taken a ticket and all his luggage is bought in, packed in, and strapped up? And it's ready and directed, and you've seen him sitting with his ticket in his hand waiting till the train comes up?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's my exact position and that's my exact condition. I am ready to go as soon as my Heavenly Father comes for me. I'm ready and I'm waiting." And you think about it. Waiting for the Lord to come back, most of us think that we are going to die before the Lord comes back. Most people think that. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but I know that it's possible that you'll die before he comes back. But either way, either the Lord comes to you or you're going to go to him. It doesn't change. You're still going to meet the Lord. You're still waiting to meet the Lord. This is being ready, whether it's tomorrow. Listen, it could be tomorrow. It could be tonight for us. We have to be ready. He comes in an hour when you think not. And he might come for you tonight. And he might come for all of us tonight. But are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you expecting him? Do you have your ticket in your hand? Do you have your bags packed? Do you have everything done and ready to go? I like what George Whitefield said. He said this because he was well known for his order and his organization and for his schedule. And he said this, "I like to go to bed feeling that if I were to die tonight, there is not so much as a pair of my gloves out of their proper place. I want everything done. I want it ready. If the Lord comes for me tonight, I want everything done." And like the other preacher, you've heard me many times say, Wesley, he said, "If you were going to die tonight, what would you do?" And he said, "I'd do the exact same thing that I already have planned. I'd go down to Yay Meeting House. I'd preach a message." And he said, "I would come home. I would eat supper. And I would lay down and take a nap. And about the time I rose, the Lord would be there. And I'd be ready to go." He said, "I don't need to change the way I live at all." And if, you know, how can you be ready with a waiting heart if the thought of the Lord's return brings you anxiety? You don't think of it ever. And when you do think of it, it brings you sorrow and sadness. I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, the thought of the Lord's return wasn't a happy thought. I'd read the Bible and it says, comfort yourself, is he going to come back? I'm like, I don't want him to come. I'm not even married yet. Why do I want the Lord to come back before I get married? No, I have a life to live. And I didn't understand that. But as you grow in the Lord, the thought of him coming back, it ought to thrill your heart. You ought to be waiting with your loins girt about and your lamp burning. And you're just waiting for the Lord to come back. And it's an exciting thing for the Lord to come. Christ is our master. We're his servants. Not only working servants, but we're waiting servants. We must learn as men that wait on the Lord to sit up while he stays out late and be ready to receive him. You know, he said a long time ago, I'm coming, didn't he? Yet a little while, I come quickly. And you know, quickly to God and quickly to us mean two absolutely different things. I come quickly and my reward is with me. And man, that was almost 2,000 years ago, 90 AD when John wrote that. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to be ready. There was a revival preacher that used to, back in Ireland, and he used to scare his people all the time. He said he would just go and burst into their houses unexpectedly. And he said, were you expecting me? And they said, no. He said, well, what if I was deaf? And then he walked out. Were you expecting me? No. Well, what if I was deaf? He got the message across. They would always... It brought many, many people to repentance. It really did. That maybe I should start doing that. not with Brother Santiago. That wouldn't turn out too good. But if there's any Democrats in here, let me know who you are and I'll do it to you. No, oh, that's not good. Bless me. I've sinned. Okay. That was not good. All right. So, Christ is our master. Wait up for him. 12 and verse 37. Look at this. This is the happy part. I mean, it's all happy, but this is amazing. Blessed are those servants who, when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Think they prepared a table for him, even though he was coming from a feast and might have had a long way to ride, and we're going to have everything ready for him, that everything's acceptable, and in this posture we're waiting for him. And he comes through the door and he's so pleased and so happy at the preparations that he made. He made his servants that were there to serve him sit down, and he served them. And look what Peter says in verse 41, Luke 12 and verse 41. This was such an incredible thought to Peter that he couldn't believe it. So he had to clarify it. Look at verse 41. And Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? Like, is that really true? I mean, can you... The Lord came not to be ministered unto, but minister, right? And he had his disciples sit down and he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He even washed Judas's feet and Peter's feet, right? And he served them. And Peter's thinking, wow, are you saying this to everyone? Listen, everyone who is faithful. You know what the Bible says about the Lord, that in the book of Hebrews, that he'll declare your name amongst the brethren? He'll sing praises to you in the congregation. He'll not be ashamed of you. I mean, what a... Can you think about that? The God of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "This is my beloved Son. This is my Son." And singing and serving. You have the Lord's Supper and all that stuff. And he sits down to the very banquet that they prepared for him and comes forth out of his chamber to wait on them. Now here's the difficult part. Okay? These servants, I want you to think about it, they prepared a table. Okay? And I don't know what they put on the table. Let's say they put some bread on the table. They put some juice on the table. They put some new wine on the table. Okay? And they have all this prepared. And he comes and serves them with the same thing they were going to serve him with. Right? You know what the Lord will do? He'll serve you like you served him. The Bible says you reap what you sow, right? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. With what measure you meet, it will be meted to you again, right? So you think about that. Whatever way I serve the Lord, he's going to serve me in that manner. Okay? He said he's going to give you what you gave him, and he's going to give you it with interest, and it's going to be a whole lot better, right? But what if you've never done anything for him? He said he'll point him his portion with the unbelievers, right? Now, you think about in the millennium, there's people that walk around and they're naked and they're ashamed. And those that suffer with them will reign with them, right? And then there's a lot of warnings that if you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's a blessing that you're not going to receive. Now, what have you prepared and what have you put on your table for the Lord? My dad always said this to me and my brothers and sisters, mainly my sisters, we were always fighting. I would win, but we're always fighting. And I'd say mean things to him, and he said, "Son, you better make your words sweet, because one day you're going to have to eat them." Right? And what have you put on this table? The Lord says, "I want you to wait for me. And when I come, I want to see you occupy. I want to see you working. I want to see you girded and serving and doing things." You know, Christianity has reduced everything into, like I said the other day, emotions and intellect. I think that I'm okay, so I'm okay. And what does it mean to serve the Lord? There's actual physical labor. There's work involved in it. It's not just hearing the word, but it's being doers. So what have you put on that table for the Lord? Because whatever that is on that table, he's going to make you sit down, and you're either going to be happy or you're not going to be too happy. Right? So, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That could be, you know, the people that walk naked and are ashamed. It could be the man that had his talent taken away. But, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that if we're saved and we don't live for the Lord, we'll suffer loss of reward, but we'll be saved yet so as by fire. So I don't take that to mean that he's going to cast you into hell. Right? But what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. So you need to serve Christ in the way you want to be served, because that's how you'll be served. So what are we talking about? I want you to think about the Lord coming back. And I want you to be ready for him to come back. I want you to gird your loins and light your lamps and wait with your heart. You know, I went to Starbucks a couple weeks ago and met Pastor Jurgen there, and we were talking about some things. And I walked in, right? And there was this girl sitting at the table, and she's like, hi, are you so-and-so? I'm like, no. Right? But she was waiting. I don't know if it was a blind date or whatever, who she was waiting for. But when I walked in, whoever she was waiting for, she was excited. And when they showed up, she was still excited. I mean, Jaws 2 is not as good as Jaws 1, but she was still excited. That's not... So, listen, the Lord's coming. Will he find you waiting, and will he find you watching, and will he find you excited for his return? Amen? All right. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And you got out a couple minutes early tonight on good behavior. You guys did really good. I didn't, but you guys did. All right, let's stand and we'll pray and be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for this admonition, Lord, about being ready in the same way that a thief or a robber would come. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us to have our loins girded, and you would know that we're ready to serve you, and you would know that we're ready to do your bidding. And if you ask us, we are willing to do what you ask us, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, our lights would be burning bright in this dark world and sinful world, and everyone would know what character we are, and we're Christ, and they would know where to come for comfort and joy and the truth, and our light would shine before men, and they would see our good works and glorify God. And I pray that we would be ready with waiting hearts, just like these servants were waiting for their master. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.